was perishing with cold, but the blessed Savior heard me when I cried. Then he threw his robe around me and he led me to his fold, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring the Savior's praises far and wide, for I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Though the world may sweep around me with her dazzle and her dreams, yet I envy not her vanities and pride. For my soul looks up to heaven where the golden sunlight gleams, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring the Savior's praises far and wide, for I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Not for all the golden millions would I leave this precious place, though the tempter to persuade me oft has tried. For I'm safe in God's pavilion, happy in his loving grace, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring the Savior's praises far and wide, for I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Here the sun is always shining, here the sky is always bright. 'Tis no place for gloomy Christians to abide. For my soul is filled with music and my heart with great delight, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring the Savior's praises far and wide, for I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. And upon the streets of glory when we reach the other shore, and I've safely crossed the Jordan's rolling tide, you will find me shouting glory just outside the mansion door, where I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring the Savior's praises far and wide, for I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side.
Amen. And if we could have Brother Boyd, if you could take up the sake of tithes and offerings.
Lord, we thank you for all the many blessings you bestow on this church body, Lord. And we just ask you to lift everyone up in need that is needed in the body, Lord. Touch it. Touch Brother Dale and the family there and bless him. Give him strength in this time, in this hour. For I know what they're going through, and it's a struggle, Lord. It's part of life that the Word encourages us to keep walking and keeping the faith. And we're looking forward to the results of walking in that Word. We give these offerings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like what Sister Johnny said. She said, call on the blood of Jesus. Because that's the only way. And that's how we get our healing. That's how we get everything. And sometimes we doubt, but nothing too hard for God. Amen. And you know we're anchored. Amen. upon life's boundless ocean where mighty billows roll. I fix my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me as storms are gathering o'er, I rest upon his mercy and trust him more. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice has stilled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to him I all confide. For always when I need him, he's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He is my friend and savior, in him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages.
Amen. Amen. We don't have a scheduled special today. I don't know if we have a New Year's calendar yet, but if anyone has a song on their heart, a song they've been wanting to sing, anyone, just raise your hand. I'd like to volunteer or keep it in your heart. But, oh, you got one. Okay, you got one. Amen.
I don't think I have much of a voice from that. Let the devil fight me. I'm going to glorify his name anyway. Sometimes the devil can come around and try to discourage you so bad. But you got to hold your head up and keep going. Doesn't matter how the sound of my voice sounds coming out of my mouth. What matters is I'm making a joyful noise to him. And the Lord is teaching me that, and I just praise him for that. I just do my best. When he said, could somebody come on? If I said, the devil tried to fight my mind, like, just don't. Like, don't do it. You know, I said, you know what? Forget that devil. I will get myself up, walk these little legs up here, and sing the song anyway. And show that devil by his grace. Oh, 3:30.
Trouble may come knocking at your door. Don't be afraid, you know it's not like before. Don't you give up, don't let it bring you down. You don't have to worry anymore, because we've been made more than overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
See, I'm not going to step back here and not be who God wants me to be. The Lord called me to sing. I'm going to sing for his glory. I'm going to get up if I feel to walk, if I feel just to praise him with my hands, praise him as I walk. I'm going to thank him. He's the one that gave me the little bitty voice that I have. I'm going to say, what little bit I have, encourage you, whatever little bit you have, let it shine for him. It's not that we have the power, but he has the power. He is a conqueror. He conquers through us every day. It might be a battle every day even to come to church. It might be a battle to put one foot in front of the other to even come to church. And it may be that battle for me sometimes, but I'm pressing forward. I'm not going to be ashamed. It's only by his grace for me.
Trouble may come knocking at your door. Don't be afraid. You know it's not like before. Don't you give up. Don't let it bring you down. You don't have to worry anymore, because we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood Jesus Christ. Hold on, we're getting stronger every day, and there is no reason for you to go astray. Don't you lean on your understanding. Just lean on him and we'll all say that we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood Jesus Christ. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Oh, made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Praise of his people.
Amen.
Amen.
Exactly right.
And if you don't praise him, the rocks will cry out.
Amen. Amen.
As that one song says, ain't no rock gonna cry in my place.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord,
bring. Amen. Let's sing When the Redeemed. Let's stand.
I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. How we'll raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like
like snow and free from all sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, oh, the city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption's story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed, ain't God good? Oh, ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? That's what we are. We are to thank Him. Then praise Him a little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. I was born again, more than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Oh, we are heirs of the Father, and we are joint heirs with the Son.
Clap of praise. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings? Only the redeemed know how to worship Him. Nobody else knows how to worship Him. You know, I was going down the road yesterday and thinking about some things, and a thought come where Brother Branham said that, you know, it's come to the end time to where that people will cry out for Jesus and say, Jesus, Jesus, and not even And they'll be saying it to somebody else. They won't be saying it to the man that we know, this Jesus. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that you will call on His name, and He'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. I did this. I did that. I preached good sermons. Healed the sick. Cast out devils. He said, depart from you. I never had a personal relationship with you. So that personal relationship is the most important thing to have with the Lord. Amen. Remember all these announcements. I know Brother Ryan's given to you, but this coming Wednesday, Brother Eric Gaio will be with us for Wednesday night. One more time, then you remember the rest of the what's going on, all the happenings going on the next couple of months. So again, be careful this week coming up. They just posted another where it's supposed to be Arctic blast coming down into the south. So just watch your water pipes and let your water run a little bit, maybe at nighttime or something. But it's not supposed to get one day but like 30 degrees, the high. So if you got any pets, bring them in. Horse, yeah, bring your horses. And Donnie, go right ahead. We'll pray for you. We'll come. Well, I was going to say we'd come and see the mess afterwards, but no, I don't think so. I think we'll just stay here. Thank you, Sue. Yeah, we're good. We knew where that was going. So we're okay. But just remember that and be wise and do the right thing and not have problems with your water and all that other stuff. So let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for communion with us today, Lord, the first service. Now, Father, I pray that you would once again, Lord, just as the Bible says, sit us in heavenly places, Lord, where we can hear from you. Father, we pray that you'd be with the ones, Lord, that are sick, that are not here, Lord, that are watching in maybe now, Lord. I pray that you'd be with them. Touch them, Lord. Give them strength. Give us all strength for this journey, Lord. We praise your great name for all the things you have done for us and the things that are coming up, Lord. I pray that you'd be with us. Keep your mighty hand on this church, Lord, and the family, Lord, that calls this place home for. Father, I pray that you'd be with each one, Lord. Give us revelation more than anything. More than anything, Lord, reveal yourself to us, and we will be a better group of people. And we praise your great name. Thank you for letting us even hear this message, much less be a part of it. Thank you for just letting us have an ear to hear and an eye to see. Lord, thank you so much. This 1% is about it, and then the other 99, oh, my word. Lord, it's judgment for them. Father, thank you for putting us in your pavilion. Thank you for giving us an opportunity, Lord. Now, let us listen to you for just a few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. This will be part 5, and then we'll begin with the church ages starting probably next Sunday. If you want to read the Church Age book, just go ahead and read it and get you a head start on the curriculum. So John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated, Lord, as blessing to the reading of the Word. Colossians 1, verse 12, as we were saying this morning, Paul is, the way he articulates this is just so important because he's talking to the Colossians. He said, give thanks, giving thanks unto the Father, which made us meet to be partakers, as I was praying just now. We have been made to be partakers of this great gospel, of this great revelation in this hour that 99% of the world is not even privileged to. As we were talking about Wednesday night, there's many cities that I go through when I go to Illinois and, you know, hunting and like Paducah and beautiful places that you'd say, man, it needs to, not a church there at all. Not a church there at all. Brother Branham preached in Elizabethtown, which is not far from where we go, Kentucky. But other than that, nothing. And they got the big Bible schools and the big colleges and all those things, and God nowhere to be seen. Be glad. You better thank God every day that he's even give you an opportunity. Not just that you're doing it, but he gave you an opportunity to hear what he said in this hour. He give it to us. Now, I ask you, what are you going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? All right. It's our responsibility now, though, that he gave it to us. More is what? More is given. More is required. All right, so we can't say we don't know. We're going to act like them out there because we don't understand. No, no, no. We've been called to a higher plane. Amen. Amen. And when we read the Bible, we read it with more, as Paul wrote it, in so much zeal. We should read it in so much zeal that it's the eternal Word of God. It'll never change. It'll always be there. So let's look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us, as we were talking this morning, transpose or transfer, remove from one place to another. Now, he didn't remove your soul and put another one in, and he didn't take your soul and put it somewhere else. No. just that old Adamic nature, that old, as we were talking this morning, that cloud that Brother Brown said come in and clouded up and muddied up that soul that you were born with, perfect, kids. But you had to come to a time of the place to where you knew right and wrong. And then right and wrong, you either keep the cloud there or you get rid of the cloud, one of the two. All right? So there's a cloud of darkness that's on all of us if we're not born again. All right? But thank God we've been translated, as Paul said, into the kingdom of his dear son. So we've been translated into a kingdom, not just a church, but a kingdom. Right. We've been translated into that. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, not the second person of the Trinity. Amen. Come on. Because that's right. The world thinks that. He's the second person of the Trinity. No. He's the firstborn of every creature, the invisible God, the creator, Jesus Christ. Amen. We know him as that now. For by him were all things created in heaven, earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him. Now remember, what does Satan do? He perverts everything that God creates. All right? And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church. Now, like I said this morning, Paul now has brought it down to tell the Colossians, hey, there is a great God. There is a creator. There is one that did all this and made everything you see. But he's right here now. But he's right here. He's not over there. He's right here. And he's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And like we were talking about this morning with Adam. Adam was a created being. He had a body that, as Brother Brown said, it looked like a tree sticking in the ground. His toes went into the ground. Because, see, that's where Adam came up out of the 16 elements of the earth. And God just pulled his body up and I held it there for a little while and throwed that breath. And he became a living person. Then he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. As we were talking about this morning, eternal, spiritually, he breathed into him and made him an eternal person with God. We read that this morning. So you and I, though, are born as a baby. Then we have to come up, and then we have a breath, a natural breath that we breathe. And then we have a spiritual breath that when we come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he breathes on us as he did at Pentecost. He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And then on the day of Pentecost, that became a reality. Right. All right? They breathed the breath of God. The church of God is born of the breath of God. God breathed breath into the nostrils spiritually of Adam, and he became a living soul. Did you know the Pentecostals are true Pentecostal church is born by the breath of God? He went all the way back to Pentecost to tell us that originally that Pentecostal group, we'll look at it when we get into the church ages, that's the way the church was supposed to have been set up. Amen. All right? That was the way it was supposed to have been set up. And what happened, it got eroded down through the church ages. Those two spirits come back in together. Come on, somebody. And they actually resided sometimes right together and rode theirself all the way through those church ages till we come to the end time where a prophet of God had to say, nope, there goes one going that way. And here stands a lamb with a book in his hand. So therefore, that can't be, God can't be two people. One's got to be God and one's got to be the devil. Remember when he said, if you see two people, one's God and one's the devil. All right? So that's what he was telling us. And even Jesus had told us in Matthew 24, he said, beware false Christ. First thing, right off the get-go. We'll read it here in just a few minutes. But we know now, I hope everybody understands that the Logos is the speech of God, and the theophany is the form that God took so that you and I can understand who he is. And then as Brother Branham says one time, he calls him King Theophany. That theophany is where you and I emanate from that are born again. You understand me? That are born again, because everybody emanates from God by breath and by life. Right. Amen. I read it where Brother Brown said he gives you a soul and a spirit. Right. All right? But it's not eternal. Right. Right. But until it gets to the age of accountability, it's covered. Yep. All right? And all babies go to heaven, as we were talking about this morning. I hope you see that, and I hope you appreciate that. I appreciate what God's done like that. Amen. To put people in heaven when they really didn't have a place for them. Really? But he said, no, all babies. Brother Branham said, no, all babies go to heaven. Do we understand that? But that theophany was the word body. And then that word body, when he put part of it in Adam, he was getting ready now to put the rest of it through Adam. Everybody with me? Through Adam and Eve, we're going to produce God's children. Amen? Had there not been a fall. But now since there was a fall, he Adam and Eve, and then he had to stop. Because there was not, they become unworthy. That cloud came down and came between them, and it became so smoky till God couldn't see sin anymore. So he put the atonement there of a blood of an animal to not take away, but to cover sin until he could come and take away sin. All right? Is everybody with me on that? That's just elementary, but we got to get to that. John 1 verse 18 says, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him or unfolded a teaching. Jesus stood that day. I see how Brother Branham was frustrated. Sometimes we all get frustrated. But I know how Jesus was frustrated. He was talking to the most religious people. Chosen people. He told his disciples, don't go out there. He said, go to these people right here. They're my people. Right? The Jewish people. They're my people. Go to the house of Israel and try to save them. And they're the ones that hung him on the cross. He stood in their church and preached, and they got so mad at him, they tried to stone him. Kicked him out of every synagogue there was. And he was preaching the unadulterated word of God. He was saying, where have I missed it? Where have I missed it? Take all the Old Testament. Y'all know, you know, I know he looked at me and said, look, y'all know the Old Testament. He said, I'm it. But they hated him for saying that. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Well, he took them all the way back to Abraham. And that's when they said, oh, you're not even 50 years old. How'd you get back here? How'd Abraham see you? He said, Abraham actually wanted to see this day. And see, all the prophets now, as they're standing, they're over into their dimension. They wanted to see this day. Because Isaiah and all the different ones that could look and see and could see way up into the future to here. Right here. And Jesus stood one day and he said, have I not declared everything that my Father told y'all? In other words, Jehovah God. Jehovah God told y'all all this. He said, but you know what? He said, you acting just like you're supposed to because your fathers put my prophets in the tombs. So you're going to, in other words, so you're going to put me in there too because you're mad at me too. Amen. Then Paul stands one day and he said, look, are y'all mad at me because I tell you the truth? You got mad at Jesus, so they're going to get mad at you. They're going to get mad at me and anybody else that stands here and tells the truth. Right. To recount or rehearse, Jesus was God. Amen. And he, the Father, whatever the Father was inside of him, when it moved, he moved. Right. Amen? Because listen, as some say that Jesus wasn't God till the River Jordan. I was thinking about this yesterday. So now, if Brother Branham, if we take... got an itch. Where's my wife? She'll be home in a little bit. She's on her way. She's out of Augusta now, so she'll be on her way in a few minutes. But I forgot my thought. We'll get back to it in a minute. John 14, verse 16 said, I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter that may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth. This is what I added in because of so important that Jesus had to go away. He said, it's expedient that I must leave you. Because I can't come back and stand in your temple by myself and do these works. I'm going to have to declare them through you, and I can't be here at the same time. So I'm going to send a comforter, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. So if you're born again today, the world can't receive you. The world can't. They don't understand. Right. because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. And there Jesus was declaring him the whole time. Never came any other way but what the scripture says. So will you. If we become born again and we start living the word of God, that's Jesus Christ walking in human flesh again, whether you believe that or not. The prophet of God said deity now resides in us. I have to believe what he says. I can't believe what I say. I have to believe what he says. All right? But you know him. Now look. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. All right? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. If you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, he has come to you to not just anoint you, but to reside in you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Now, listen, that got locked up. That got locked up at Nicaea. Because they saw him as one God. Right here. When the Holy Ghost came back on the day of Pentecost, they were not Trinitarians. But 300 years later at Nicaea, and then 600 years after that, they adopted. It would become a saying, a deed, and a doctrine. We'll get into it in just a little bit with the church ages. That's why we really got to cover that to show again how that thing got separated and how Satan came right back in. And run right along with the bride. And has until this day. That's why Brother Brown said it. You got a church over here and they got a bride over here. This is the characteristics of the two. But you see me because I live, you shall live also. At that day, the prophet of God said, this day, you shall know where I'm at. And what I'm doing, where I'm at. That's pretty much what he says here, okay? At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Do we believe that? Do you believe that, Sue? When you get up, you can't hardly move your hand because it's all numb. I thought I was the only one who went through that. Man, I can't hold nothing. I have to sit there and shake it. And anyhow, good to be alive. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And will manifest myself to him. That's why God came to you at the new birth. He not only gave you the new birth, he gave you this message. Amen. He came to you knowing you'd be one of the only ones that would take it and take it to heart. Judas said unto him, now not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Pretty simple. Listen, I was thinking about yesterday. We can have all these great revelations. Okay? And we do. Yet we can't come to church. We can't study. Can't read the Bible. Can't pray. We can't do the simple things, take communion, wash, and all those things. There's no way you'll ever go higher than that. Amen. Without those institutions being put in your life. Right. You can't listen. This ain't a skip gospel. Right. This ain't I get to go past the third grade because I'm smart. No, you got to go through the third grade. Right. Fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. You can't skip to where I'm perfect. If you ever think you're too perfect to go to church or take communion, you're lost. The devil has got you. He's not playing with you. He's got you because he plays with me all the time. You really don't need to go up there. They're not even paying attention to you, and they're going to fall asleep second service. If a man love me, he will keep my words. We're going to keep going. Right, Donnie, go. Put your ink pen right there. And my Father will love him, and we will, look, and we will come unto you and take our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. So, sisters, I think it's all right to just put a little makeup on and splash a little this and cut a little this. And now, that ain't his words. So you're out of the gospel. Sorry. You're out of it, so you're not doing his words. You don't love him enough. Oh, don't tell me. See there, the devil's already got you. Did Jesus ever say, it's just really hard to do what the Father tells me to do? No, he said, I always do it. Why? Because the Father was in him. And he let him have preeminence. That's our problem is we get ourselves in the way and we think. Remember I told you many times before, if somebody ever comes to me and says, I thought, pretty much you're going to have to explain again what you're talking about. He that loveth me not, you'll remember that. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine. All right, now listen, there's two words, there's two powers, the devil's and God's. He said, if you're not listening to mine, you're listening to the devil's. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Now look, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he puts it right down where it's at, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We're going fixing to go through some troublesome times. The world's getting worse and worse. They're saying this coming October, we're reading some about that there's going to be a crash again. And another housing bubble crash and all that stuff. And so what? Big deal. We got to go through it. Unless we get out of here before that, which would be fine with me. But we're prepared for it. Listen, this world, when they go through something, you watch them. When they start going through something, they number one, they start going to church again. But, you know, some kind of disaster like 9/11. Boy, 9/11, when 9/11 hit, heavenly days, the churches was full of people. National Day of Prayer, when they took it out of the schools and said it was illegal, they had a whole nation come and pray because of this disaster that happened. Then, what, about a year later, it was... Then another year later, and it's, well, now they're empty again. Right. You and I should not be that way. Right. Sure, we're going to have troubles. We're going to have ups and downs. Amen. Always. But we know the end. There's an end to this. Is everybody with me just a minute? Let me get off my message just a minute. There's an end to this. Amen. We're looking at something, and we're not... But Paul said, I even looked through a glass darkly because he wasn't in an open book. You and I are in the open book. We know what age we're living in. We know what time. We know what's happening. We know who's already come and who's already left. And we know where the devil is. Amen. What else do you need to know? We know where God is. He's in us. Okay? So we know the devil is out there trying to what? Trying to stop. Listen, Brother Brown said he's trying to what? Stop the program of God. Now, you and I are the program of God. Right. Believe it or not, if you're born again today, you have a part in the program of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They realize that. Amen. And there's a plan for you to go through this, yes, not meet your end. Amen. And listen, be called out of all that. Right. Come on, called out, completely out of that. Amen. Oh, we might have to go through, who knows? We have to go through a little persecution. Moses stood one day, and Moses, I'm sure inside of Moses, he was like, man, I spent 40 years. They trained me for 40 years to take over. My mama told me when I was a baby that I was chosen for a job. Am I right? Then when he hit about 40 years old, he got schooled by, he was actually the next Pharaoh in line. So he was like, you know, he had a church with 600 or 800 people. Oh, never mind. He was the head bishop. Right? But he still had a temper. And he killed an Egyptian. And that wiped out all that. He had to go running back to the desert. And God, Brother Brown said, God had to take every bit of that out of him. Because he was schooled, as my dad's always said, and I believe it 100%. That's why Pharaoh didn't have him killed. Now listen, if you were to come up to a Pharaoh, I don't care who you were, he could have his wife killed and nobody'd say anything about it. Kings had their wives' head cut off all the time. Be careful. But here's Moses walks right up and says, let my people go. And Pharaoh's like, didn't me and you grow up together? Weren't you trained? Didn't my daddy train you? And where you been? You've been gone for 40 years. Moses said, I had to get all that knocked out of me. He said, but I'm ready to take over now. He said, how? He said, here I am. God, don't worry about numbers. But still, Pharaoh thought, man, he might have some friends still in that little camp, you know, his little circle of friends over here. He said, he may still have some generals over here or something. He might cause me a little trouble. Oh, Moses is gone. Then he kept playing with him. Yeah, you can let him go. Then he changed his mind that morning. Or that night, he changed his mind. Of course, he could. He's the Pharaoh. But there was one day when God through Moses, took that place to its knees. He took all that schooling out of him. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11. It says, Moses, if you read it just like you're standing there with Moses. Here's Moses. He probably was able to take over without having all these mighty miracles. He could have mounted an army, took most of the Israelites and had an insurrection and took half of the Egyptians with him because they all liked Moses. I'm sure they did at first. But the Bible says Moses, for all that, he threw it away so that he could listen to what God said. Can you and I do that? Can we throw away everything that's important to us? Esteem that just nothing but just part of life and the riches and all those things. Paul said, Moses just said, no, I want to serve Christ. Can we do that? That's Hebrews. That's Hebrews 11. That's how Moses put his faith in what God said. Can we do that? Now, Moses didn't have the new birth. You and I have the new birth. We should be able to do that a lot more than he did. Because deity lays in you. Deity lays in me and you. And as Sister Anna, I left this in here for Sister Anna Marunga because she was talking to me downstairs. She said, you don't mean just a regular jubilee. You mean a golden jubilee. Yes, I've met 50 years of the golden jubilee. It's okay. So some of you didn't understand that. You have a jubilee every 7 years, and we'll cover that in the church ages. But there comes a place to where at the 49th year, you have one more. You have a jubilee, golden jubilee, 50th jubilee, where everything goes free. And we'll get through that, but I just want to make you understand that, yes, you're right, sister. That is the golden jubilee I'm talking about. This right here now, we're living under the golden jubilee. As our brother said the other day, the seven sevens is gone. We're in an eight. Seven sevens is 49. That's not going to take you to a 50. You got one more. You got that eternity. You got that eight. So that we'll get to that. But there'll come another year of jubilee. That's what Brother Branham was looking at. We don't have to go to Israel. We're having it inside of ourselves. Right. It's a golden jubilee that this guy can go free. Amen. That's what we're looking at. This guy can go free. Right. Listen, man has talked about this and talked about it. Job stood one day and he said, in my flesh, I'll see God. Though the skin worms destroy this body, in my flesh, I shall see God. So he was looking to somewhere that death had to be destroyed somewhere. Job had enough revelation to be able to see that. Do we? Because we've got the formula. Job didn't have the formula. We have the formula in our hands right now. There'll come another year of jubilee, and that we've had it just about this time. Now he's talking about a natural jubilee going from Pentecost. He says, when you begin to see the year of Jubilee, now not the seven sevens, that's what we're going to cover in the church ages. And you'll hear Brother Brown say, he says, well, they couldn't get all the way out. What do you mean by that? They left a leg in or an arm in? No, they brought some doctrine with them. And he's telling the Pentecostals, you brought some doctrine with you that you shouldn't have. Right. Like you got to speak in tongues to get the Holy Ghost, and you got to do this and got to do that. Right. But when you begin to see the year of Jubilee, where we don't have to fuss and strain and pull like this, but we're already secured in Christ. We already have the name of the Lord Jesus in baptism. Now he keeps going through the great mysteries that we're going to bring up in the seven seals and prove to you that it was the seals that were sealed from the eyes of the people. Nobody saw what we see. Nobody. Thank God he sent us a prophet. Because that prophet went into the mind of God and brought that open book. He stood there one day and he said, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand, and there goes the white horse rider. Then he starts preaching. And his preaching for the next 2.5 to 3 years before his death, he's pulling it apart. Now, wait, he preached united time and sign. That was us and Christ back together. But he preached anointed ones at the end time. All the different ones. Mighty God unveiled before us. He was separating. Pulling it apart. Right. So that we can see our pathway. Right. And our way to go. So Revelation 3:14 is the beginning of the creation of God. I hope you see that. That you and I are a continuation, as he said. A continuation of that creation, but being in that what was dispensation of the beginning of the creation of God, he claims your body. The Word of God has not stood in a pulpit and claimed your body until this day. Nobody. That is the beginning of the creation of God. And this is the continuation. Oh, listen, folks, let's don't let Brother Brown's message be null and void. Don't let the message of the hour be null and void. I'm going to read you one here in a few minutes. I read to you Wednesday night. Brother Brown said, when my religion starts getting dull, I'll read it to you. The whole redemptive plan you and I have now, everything, the whole plan of God. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, as we were talking this morning. So you're an individual person. You absolutely have to get it on your own as far as the Holy Ghost. Now, you need helpers and all that, the comforter. But I can't give you the Holy Ghost. You got to accept it. Right. All right? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteous of the righteous shall be upon him, righteousness, and the wickedness of the wickedness shall be upon him. Separated. All right? When you stand before judgment, I hope none of you in this building have to stand before the white throne judgment. You're going to give an account as an individual. You're not going to give an account because your preacher held you back. Your mama held you back? No, you held you back. For what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I was thinking this week about that very subject. And then Luis, you know, Brother Luis, he talks about 10,000 worlds. And Brother Brown said one soul was worth that. You know, I was thinking about a couple of great men, and I'm talking about men that were in the world, just to be truthful, we got Daddy a bunch of Bonanza videos, and we've been watching Bonanza videos. So anyway, you got Little Joe. If everybody knows who that was Michael Landon. Well, Michael Landon was worth, you know, $100 million. He got pancreatic cancer, and 3 months later, he died. All that fame and fortune and all that money, I'm sure he poured, and then you look at other people that, you look at Steve Jobs. He's a multi-billionaire, the owner of Apple, created Apple, what you're using now. He was the creator of it, him and Wozniak and all the different ones. Wozniak. Okay, but he gets cancer. I'm sure he spends hundreds of thousands of dollars for his body. But I don't know that he ever stopped and said, God, forgive my soul. And when he died, his soul went somewhere. His millions stayed here. And a lot of great men, you see how their life was cut short. Money could not buy or purchase enough to reverse that. But if they would have stopped just a minute and said, God, and I hope they did. I hope that, but it was never recorded that they did, that they would give their heart to the Lord, then 10,000 worlds just popped up, and there's no way to put a value on that. Same way with us. There's no way to put a value. There's no way to put a value on your worship. If you know who you're worshiping. And he loves that worship. There's no value. You can't say, I got a 401k with $10 million in it. If you don't know the Lord, you got zero in your bank account. In heaven. But our soul's on his altar. Look what happens when you get the new birth. You're conceived anew. There is a conception. Right. You are conceived anew. You was first conceived in iniquity. Now you're conceived in something new. What is it? The living word. Right. All that changes it now, doesn't it? Now we're through the struggle after seeing what you got to do. Now what happens? You're conceived anew in the living word. What is it? The word becomes alive in you. So what someone preaches, are you here, Brother Branham? Are you here a minister preach and it's the word of God and you say that ain't nothing but the truth? That makes the word become alive inside of you. Amen. It's dead as long as it lays on that page. How many of you ever been sitting somewhere and you said, I see that. That wasn't the devil. That was not the devil. Because he's over there trying to put the blinders on you. And you're over there going, I see that. Well, that's God. And listen, hang on to that. Go to the next step. Hang on to that. Go to the next step. Hang on to that. Is everybody with me? Where once you couldn't see that, now you do see it. There's something different now. Makes all the scriptures come together. Makes everything dovetail just right. Isn't that true? If we read the Bible, if you were a denomination or you were in a denominational church, you read the Bible like a denominational told you to read it, right? But we read the same Bible now and we see there's no eternal hell. We see there's no Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. We see these things. Why? We read the same Bible, but we read it with what? We read it with something different. The scales of our eyes have been pulled back. We're going to see that in the church ages, that the scales were pulled back, but there was always a part there that Satan, and I hate to say this, but he had so much control over the church during the church ages. We'll talk about it. And I hate to say that, but part of the plan. Part of the plan of God. He's not nervous. He didn't go, no, I didn't see that. No, he saw everything. And listen, so he knows how to navigate through all that. He's God. He sees the end from the beginning. Satan doesn't. I think Satan just reacts to a spirit, maybe. Then now something begins to happen. Now you die to your own thinking. Now you're conceived because you're washed by the water of the word. What do you do with a baby as soon as it's born? You give it a bath. You wash it. And as soon as a man has died to himself and born of God, he's washed by the water of the word. And Brother Brown tells us, says, now you have your training. You thought, man, I'm done. I'm finished. No, just get you started. What have we been talking about for 100-something services? This is our training now. And it's not, it may start as child training, but it's going to be an adult training. Adult training class. A little bit different than child training class. You're ready to go into training now. Child training. So that's where you get started. That's the hard part when you think you ought to do this and the word cuts you around, shows you something else. Let me ask you a question. How many times did that ever happen? Amen. You had your own idea. You knew that's what Scripture said. You knew that's what Brother Branham said. And somebody come in and preach something to you and you go, I don't see it that way anymore. Right? Well, you know what? That was God. That was not the devil, because he'd want you to stay in the error. And the word cuts you around and shows you something else. While they believe that over, that don't make any difference what they believe. Right. Here's what God said. Amen. And you must be about the Father's business. Now you're getting born again. Now you're getting right, getting straightened out. You have a new parent. Amen. So in order, if you're born again and got a new parent, then you got a new nature. The old nature's dead and you got a new nature. You once was going one way, now you're going another. You once was going down, now you're going up. Your affections are set on things above, a new affection. Listen, when you got born again, you had an affection for God that you never had before, right? But it was in child training. Here. Now, watch him. He says, now your affections are set on things above, a new affection. Okay? You don't love the things of the world no more. Your affections are of God. All these statue of perfect man, all the way up there to Holy Spirit. Now, you got a new affection. Now, we're getting into something different. We're getting into some deep water. Hope you learned how to swim the last 100-something sermons. Because we got to keep moving on. I see some of the tabernacle folks here. I'm going to say this about the big sister tabernacle. One thing that the tabernacle needs is more up there at our church at the tabernacle at Jeffersonville. And I'm sorry to say, you can't even get in it now. They don't even have church services there. It's going to turn into a museum is what we heard. So, old relics. I don't want old relics. Give me something fresh. It's a rededication and a refilling of the Holy Ghost. That's right. Everyone to get down to the altar and pray until they get a renewing of the Holy Ghost. And I want to say something real quick. We open these doors from 5 to 6 o'clock. Some of you come. Some of you ain't never showed your face here. You're missing something. Amen. Especially those of you that have a job here. Those of you that have a job here, everybody looks at you as a spiritual leader. Because you have a job to do. You should be here. You should be here for Bible study. I've told you that before. You look at me weird if you want to, but people watch you and says, well, why is this so? Why is he not here if he does this or she does this? I'm just saying. It's not required, but it'd be nice if you come. Because you know what? You're probably going to do something else. Like Dad said, you're going to go to Walmart on Saturday night? Well, it gets them quiet now where you can hear the fans doing this. But, you know, is that not the truth? Brother Brown said every time that door opens, he said, you should want to come to get in them. Right. So is he still your prophet or not? Did he change? It's just old now. We don't have to believe that. It don't change. The whole church be filled with the power of God. That's what we need. Not only the tabernacle, but the body of Christ universal. It needs a refilling. I like David said one day, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Now, he had not lost his salvation, but the joy of it. Right. And when it comes to a place that I can enjoy my religion, my salvation, there's something wrong somewhere. Right. Because it is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. You look at the world. And we're all guilty of this. You turn on a TV and you watch a ball game. I mean, 80 to 100,000 people, they go to their church. And they don't miss a ball game service. They dress in their team colors. Some of them have them tattooed on their naked chest. And at 12 degrees outside. And they shout the whole service. And you never see one of them fall asleep. Hello, somebody. Now, you're not going to get popcorn and a drink in here like they do. But that's their church service. That's their God. That's what they feed off of. What do we do? And I'm guilty, too. I mean, that's a fervor. To me, what Brother Branham has, that's why that's a fervor. That's a fervor of wanting to come to church. And like Brother Branham said, I want this joy unspeakable.
Amen.
When it comes to a place that I can't enjoy my religion, my salvation, there's something wrong somewhere. We need a rededication, a refilling this year. We're not going to make it without it. Let me say something, too. This uniting time to see the church is uniting, nations uniting. It's a uniting time of God and His bride, too. Praise the Lord. And I say this with reverence and respect. I believe that the bride of Christ is called. I believe she is sealed in the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people would say that would be that he said this, you know, that we're ready to go. He doesn't mean that. He means the kingdom, that she, the bride, is sealed into the kingdom of God. Now, we've got things that we've got to understand to go to the body change. We're not sealed in. What I'm saying is a lot of people said redemption was over in 1963. Like a whole group says now that, well, not now, but they've said forever, that Jesus came in 1963, so we don't have to take communion anymore. Well, I want you to read that communion scripture just one more time. He says, I'll not drink this until I drink it in my kingdom. Now, if he's come, he should already be here. And he'd be drinking the wine.
Right.
No. He's hearing the word.
Amen.
He's not here in physical form.
Right.
So communion is part of what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
But that's where people get their idea. That in 1963, they told Dad when he came in 1968 or 69, they said, hey, redemption's over. You can't be saved because of certain things that Brother Ram said.
Right.
But we know one thing's for sure. In 1963, 90% of y'all wasn't even born. But the ones of us that were, Donnie, born in 1949. He's a 49er. Y'all know that? 1949. If you had a 1949 car, it'd be even... Yeah. Okie dokie then. Okay. So he has a 1949 car. But look, we're sealed into the kingdom when you get the new birth. All right? So most of us weren't born. Some of us were. I was three. All right? But redemption wasn't over, or we just empty this church and go to the house. And go to a ball game with our shirt off and our favorite number tattooed on our chest. But it's not. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, yes, you are sealed in your king in the kingdom of God. But now there's work to do.
Right. Amen.
I believe the mechanics is there. They're waiting for the dynamics that'll take her off the earth into glory. Now that's what he's talking about. In the rapture, I believe it with all my heart. Yes, sir. We don't know how he's going to do it, but he shall do it. He's the dynamics. We just become members of the machine of his body. I like what he says. We'll read this about this machine. Forming ourselves into his image and see him uniting himself with us in his works, with his love gifts. Look, as he hands them to us just before the wedding supper. Now remember, see, we get married down here. We go to a wedding supper. All right? And we're waiting and watching for that. Their big church is to be united. The dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit that we have, look, worked in a small measure while the headstone is coming down to unite with the body. But when that head and body unites together, the full power of the Holy Ghost would raise her up just exactly like that. Even the dead that's dead in Christ for hundreds of years will rise in the beauty of his holiness and take a flight to the skies. Look, the dynamics is the Holy Spirit. Once more, Lord, 1963. Brother Ram said, in my travels, I find two classes of people. One of them are fundamentals. Positionally, they know by the mechanics that they are to be sons and daughters of God. All right, everybody with me? You got to keep your eyes open to read. And I said, the next I find is the Pentecostals. They with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I said the fundamentalists positionally know where they're at, but they don't have any faith in the word.
Right.
And the Pentecostals has got a lot of faith, but don't know who they are.
Amen.
And I said, it's like a man that had money in the bank. He could not write a check. And one could write a check, but he didn't have no money in the bank. If you could get them two together. Amen. Excuse me. He said, well, that makes them act like that. I said, it's letting off the steam. What makes them act like that? Maybe that's what we ought to call it. Letting off steam. You know how we let off steam at home and work and all those different things? What we do? We either go outside and scream and holler. We ought to do that here, maybe. Let off some steam. Shout. Praise the Lord. I said, it's letting off the steam. I said, now, I don't think that would have to be necessary. But they've got to vent somewhere. I wish we had enough pressure in us to make us vent. And I said, now, if they would just take all that steam and know how to direct it fundamentally in the Word, the big regime of God would start moving on. There's where Satan got in to make it all mechanics and no dynamics. Back all dynamics and no mechanics. See, we've got to put it together. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit, but we've got to come back with a word to feed this machine. We can't feed it on creeds. It won't burn it. Chokes up the flues, and it will not burn it. It was made for the Word of God. You were made for the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Not just part of it, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, seize not air with a shuck. See how close it is. Now, we're getting ready to head to Matthew 24 here just for a second, and then we'll close. Now, Matthew 24:24 said, the two spirits in the last days. Look, the church spirit of the church people. Everybody with me? The church spirit of the churchy people and the bride spirit of the bride people. Amen. Would be so close. I went like this. Now, he's going to bring them back like this. He said we'll be so close together till it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. That's how close. Revelation of Jesus Christ is a church age book where we're heading to. Now remember this. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. I could almost quote this verbatim. We've read it so many times. But the book of Revelation. Now look, where did we see the church ages? Started in the book of Revelation. When we start in the book of Revelation, we're going to start in Revelation chapter 1. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his work, the attempted destruction of God's people, and discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church. This is not some Christian church. And by God's Spirit, the only way you're going to be able to do it, discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. All right, let's read Matthew 24, start verse 23. I like what Brother Donaldo said about this, you know, is you got your two spirits, 24-24. You got your twins. Then if any man shall say, now this is Jesus. Everybody with me? This is Jesus speaking. All right? He's preaching on the seals. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ or there, believe it not. Now that sounds good. Oh, Christ, let's go. He said, believe it or not. Try it. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. How are you going to not go for that? How? Think about it. Wherefore, somebody comes up to you and says, behold, he's over there in that church. He's fully over there in that church. But now we drink a little bit, and we just old church when we want to, and let the women cut hair, and we let them preach every once in a while, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know one thing's for sure. He's not over there. Amen. Go not forth. Behold, he is in a secret chamber. Oh, you can't touch him unless I tell you. I know where that secret chamber is. You got to come to me and listen to me. I'll tell you where it's at. Believe it or not, and I like what Brother John's been doing the whole time. He's going, why? Because somebody doesn't have to tell you where Christ is if he's inside of you. Somebody don't have to come and tell you Christ is over here and over yonder if you got him inside of you. Because you say, hey, that's false. He's right here. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I want to ask you a question. We talk about thunders. And everybody now is going to go, but part of this verbiage of this message, it talks about seven thunders because it's in the Bible, right? But now, do they just happen? Have you ever seen just thunder? Or heard just thunder? No. It's got to be lightning before the thunder. I think we're missing a lot of that. Because it says right here, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west. Listen, if it absolutely light, if there's a lightning bolt, there's going to be thunder. Man, we had one at the house the other day about knocked me out of the bed. You know, you can, now let's go to Life Lesson 473. If you see a lightning bolt, count 1,001. 1,002, and ever when that boom starts, that's how many miles that is away from where it hit at. Tony knew that. I didn't even have to tell him that. Tony knew that a long time ago. But anyway, that thing knocked me out of bed, and I went 1,001, it went boom. I thought, okay, it was a mile away. Okay, now let's get back to the service. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shines, but listen, to be honest with you, why did Jesus stand one day to identify the Son of Man and he put a lightning bolt in there? Got to be some thunder afterwards. We'll talk about that. That's a little bit further down the road, but we'll get into that a little bit later. All right, let's read the first seal real quick and then we'll close. Y'all are already went to nod. And they said, now here's a white horse. Now watch. A white horse is the power. Now, Jesus, remember, keep this in the back of your mind. Jesus preached the seals. All right, Brother Brown didn't preach something new. He didn't take it out of a new book. He got it from the Bible. All right? And Jesus preached them in Matthew 24, supernaturally, that nobody understood what he was talking about, to put seal 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Is everybody with me? Until the prophet came and identified, hey, this is seal 1, this is seal 2. Jesus preached the seals. All right, he preached 6 seals, and then guess who he is? He's number 7. He's the 7th seal. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in the sermons. Here's a white horse, and a white horse is the power of charging. Now watch, he's talking, and said the man that sat on that was the white horse, was the Holy Spirit that went forth in the early age. This is what he thought. And conquered that age for the kingdom of God. He had a bow in his hand, which meant like Cupid. He shot the arrows of love. Now, Brother Brown didn't even read the scripture because there's no arrows in that scripture. Okay? It's just a bow. He shot the arrows of love into the hearts of the people, the love of God, and he conquered. Now, doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound good? Christ comes and gets on a white horse, and he's got a bow and arrow, and he shoots Cupid. Oh, we just laugh. We laugh, but that's what was taught before the seals open. That's the devil that he's talking about. Now, that sounds very good, but it isn't the truth. No, sir. It wasn't. White does mean righteous. We realize that white means righteous. The teachers taught it, that it was the Holy Spirit conquering in the first age, but my revelation of it by the Holy Spirit is not that way. And the devil started getting nervous. Because he's fixing to do this. Where all them ages, it was right there. They were doing this right side by side. My revelation by the Holy Spirit is Christ and the Holy Spirit is the self-same person, only in a different form. So here stands Christ the Lamb. We know he was the Lamb. He's standing here with the books in his hand, and there goes the white horse rider, see? So it wasn't the Holy Spirit. What was he saying? There's two people. Amen. One here, one here. Now that's one of the mysteries of the last day, how that Christ can be the three persons in one, not three different people, being three gods, as Trinitarians say. It's three manifestations of the same person, or you might call it three offices. If you're talking to ministers, you wouldn't use office because just happen to think I'm on tape. So I'll tell you, of course, Christ didn't say, I pray my office, and he'll send you another office. We know that. But if you want to make it, it's three attributes of the same God and not three gods, three attributes of the same God. And so how could Christ be out there with a white horse rider conquering and standing here with a book in his hand? It isn't so. Here's where the devil got nervous. He said, it isn't Christ. The airwaves broke. The Logos began to speak. Amen. Amen. The Logos was beginning to tell us the truth. That's why the seals are so important. It tells you so much truth that was locked up for all them years. Amen. Notice now the Holy Spirit in a revelation in Christ. The Holy Spirit is Christ in another form. Notice it is a lamb that opened the book, and the lamb is Christ. And Christ is not seen any more from then. Look away to Jesus, 1963. We're going to move away from that. We're going to come back to that scripture, but we're going to move away from it right now. So now I'm going to say something to you. Now look, let me tell you something else. Brother Branham, when he preached that, he never, ever took it back.
Right.
Because it was the truth. Amen. It was God. It was the Logos speaking to us. It was God speaking and said, hey, that's been wrong for all these years. Even my preachers have been preaching this. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Luther, Wesley. Nobody taught that was a white horse. Well, you know, they said Clarence Larkin did. Well, that's okay, but Clarence Larkin wasn't a church age messenger either. Right. A servant of God could catch the mind of God.
Right. Amen.
But he can't put it together like Brother Brown put it together. So that doesn't bother me that Clarence Larkin wrote that. You know, they say Brother Brown was a copycat, that he copied all this stuff, that all this was already revealed, and he just copied it. No, I don't think so. So now I'm going to say something to you now that I haven't said all along. That's the thing that we have looked forward to for so long, for at least many years, 4 or 5 years, is this other word that people get all, as Bob says, wonky about, is the third pull. But that is part of our verbiage and is part of our message of the hour. Everybody with me? Wake up for a minute. I know it's hot in here, but that's okay. The third pull has now been vindicated, and I'm sure you all know what it is. Now, they didn't. Now, remember, there'll never be an impersonation of that because it can't be. See, it can't be. It's inexistent. I'm warned of this, that soon, right at this time, now it just happened, so it could identify its presence among you, see, but it will not be used in a great way. Now watch, until the Council of Churches. Now, under the third pull, there was, five things that happened, right? Isn't that right? We had the squirrels, Sister Mita, all the different things, the great part of that, we'll get to that a little bit later, but those were some great things, but he said, it's not used in a great way until the council begins to tighten up. Now, the council hadn't tightened up yet. It's beginning to tighten up. And when it does, when that does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything can be done. You watch. You go out there and you watch. I'm not going to call their name, but some of the evangelists and the ones that, you know, they put their hands on them and there's testimonies of, you know, they get slain in the spirit and all that. Women doing the same thing. Well, let me warn you, Jesus stood there one day. He said, there's going to be two spirits. He said, one's going to be anti, and one's going to be of me. All right, I'm speaking in the first person. One's going to be of me. He said, beware of false Christ. So he's speaking. The Logos is telling us. So the Logos is going to have to tell us where he's at and what he's doing. All right? But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see, look, what you've seen temporarily. Wow. That whole time of Brother Branham's sermons and everything, all the great power of manifestation in his services of thousands of people being healed was temporary. When the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. See? You see what we're doing? We're just absolutely living below our privileges. We absolutely have this part is coming. And it's going to happen to somebody. We can sleep our way through it if you want to. That's fine with me. But somebody's going to get it and move on. Somebody's going to make it. It's going to be happy that they got it. Maybe get some pom-poms or something. I don't know. Do you believe we're living in the last days when the Son of Man was to be manifested? That would be all the word that's gathered up through Luther, Wesley, Baptist. That's why we're going to have to go through the church ages. And all that and the Pentecostal all gathered up to the revelation of what it's all been. Now watch. The seventh angel was to open the sixth seal mystery. Now you say, boy, he missed it there. I thought it was a seventh seal mystery. I'm reading what he said. What is the seventh seal? Christ. When he preached the six seals, he introduced Christ to us. The seventh angel was to open the sixth seal mystery. It's all to be gathered up in the Son of Man. His fullness of time has come to the fullness of his word now to manifest the fullness of his body. Look how many times he said fullness. His fullness of time has come to the fullness of his word to manifest the fullness of his body. That's the word. Then that's the spoken word made manifest by the word, revealing the word. Former latter rain, 1960. Watch the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Watch it today. When he comes back, the church has gradually been coming down. The first Reformation was Luther. We had a great big wide place. He's talking about the pyramid. Justification by faith. The church was shook. Then come along Wesley, the second big revival. It shook it down into sanctification. The church became in a minority, greatly in the minority. Then after that come Pentecost, the restoration of the gifts. It shook it down now just a little thing like a pyramid coming up. But right at the end time, before the capstone can come to the pyramid, what about it? What is it? Then the church is really in the minority. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man, where eight souls were saved by water. Now the coming of the Son of Man, what is it? The church comes from justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and now former and latter rain coming together, coming in, and it is close approaching as my hand is a shadow. It becomes closer, darker, darker, and it becomes a hand, and a shadow is the same. That's what we're looking at. And listen, it's a pull. So you got to have it inside. If you don't have it inside, no pull. There's no, if there's no magnetism inside of you to magnetize to what's coming, you're just going to be left out. Oh, we need to get praying. We need to be in prayer service. Amen. But there's two things you can do. If you're going to give out money or feed them, they'll come. I thought I'd just say that for a minute. Revelation 1 verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Now this is God identifying himself. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also was, am your brother, and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Now remember, John typed to what? Bride. Was in the Isle of Patmos for the word of God. Now, Julie and Gary just came back from there. And for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now he heard a voice as of a trumpet. saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. This is God talking to John. Unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man. In other words, someone standing there with flesh.
Right.
Clothed with a garment down to the feet and girt about the paps, appear paps, breast, with a golden girdle. Feminish, Brother Bram says. We'll get to it. I just want to read this, and this is where we're going to get started next week. His head and his hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire. And his feet like a defined brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. In other words, there were seven stars, and there were seven messages or word that went out.
Right.
All right. When a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. In other words, he's saying, John, I got it covered. I got all the keys. I've died and I've resurrected. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Let's stand to our feet. Musicians, come. We'll start right there on the book of Revelation. We're not going to break it down like Brother Dale did that one time, but we will sure hone in on the church ages and the salutation, the word they were given, and the rebuke of each church age. Because you and I, yes, we've been raptured out of this age, but we still live in Laodicea. We still live in that time because we are a continuation of the creation of God. First church age what? Second church age what? Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, even the part of the seventh. But you and I are in the last days. There is no other age anywhere else. But that doesn't exempt us from going above the Word of God. We still got to live the Word of God. Basic Christian living. And then let's add to it. Let's don't think we're something big. Basic Christian living. Then add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. Let's sing a song.
The great fuzzy shine now is here. The sympathizing Jesus, he speaks the
truth. If you have a need in your heart, he's doing in this age, not another age, in this age. History's good, but let's see what's happening now.
Is Jesus blessed, Jesus, your many sins,
thank God,
are all forgiven. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus.
Sarah's song, sweetest name.
tongue, sweetest carol ever sung is Jesus, blessed Jesus. All glory to the dying Lamb.
What he did for you and
I now. I love the blessed Savior's name. I love the name of Jesus.
Say it to him.
Sweetest note in Sarah's song. The sweetest name.
What kind of peace are you going to get on this earth? You get no peace if you don't have the Prince of Peace. Oh, how my soul delights
to hear
the precious name of Jesus.
Sweetest note in song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung is Jesus, blessed Jesus, the sweetest note. Seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, the sweetest carol ever sung is Jesus, blessed Jesus.
Sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung
is Jesus, blessed Jesus.
Y'all make sure you bundle up real good this week. Don't let the cold get to you. Joyce is already shivering over there. But listen, I tell my cat and my dog, I look at them when it's about 25 degrees outside, and I said, you blessed that you ain't a yard dog. We used to have a yard dog. Mama never would let no dog in the house. And them things are shivering and freezing. They'd be on the porch, and they'd be doing this. And I'd be like, come on inside. And you're like, no, yeah, no. But God equips them for that. God equips them for the ones outside. And I told him, I said, you better be glad you're not an outside dog because you'd die. Listen, be glad God's equipped us. He's not been a dirty old granddaddy. No, he said, get out there and that's where you're supposed to be. All right? And he equips us for that. So that's what he's doing now. He's equipping his bride for this last push. To get us out of here, it's going to take a surge of what we were just talking about. A surge, a refilling of the Holy Ghost. To where it is a joy to serve God. It is a joy. Brother Rams, what about a prophet? He said, if I can't be happy in my religion, something's wrong. Happy that you're a Christian. Happy that you can go to church. That you have all this information that that you can process. Many ages didn't have it. When we first started here in the church, there was 1,100. Well, I didn't have all of them, but there was this line with just eight, with 7-inch reel tapes. And you had to lug 3 or 4 of them home, Brother John. You had to lug them home. And then Brother Mote, he'd come out here, little bitty thing about that tall, but he'd bring about 20 books. And you was going to get read out of every one of them, so you knew you got nervous about the time he got out of the pastor study, because he'd stack one of them right here, and he'd stack one of them right here. And that's the way, and then their concordance was looking up in the book. We got it here. You can even get a quote on your watch now. Hello. So what excuse do we have now? Technology has excelled. So I hope God excels in your life much more this year than he ever has before. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you so much. Lord, bless Brother Eric and Brother Luis and them, wherever they're traveling, Lord, that they'll come back here Wednesday and be safe. Give us a wonderful message, Lord. And thank you for sending the foreign brothers here, Brother Donaldo, and the different ones that's been here, Lord. I pray that you touch them. Lord, be with the ones in the Philippines and Jamaica and the different ones, Ireland and India that we support, Lord. I pray that you just bless them, Lord, and give them fruit for their labor and their efforts. Lord, I pray that you'd heal the sick, Lord. May we all come back together, Lord, and be one in you, Father. And let it be the joy of our salvation, the joy that we gather together to hear about you, Lord. Just be with us. Take care of us on the highways. Be with us until we come back together in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.